Good morning. Thank you all for coming. And today we merit to begin Maseches Shabbos. Maseches Shabbos is a very special Masechta. Of course, it deals with all the aspects of how to observe the laws of Shabbos. And the biggest topic in Maseches Shabbos is the topic of Hotza'ah, the prohibition not to carry, to transport an item, and to pick it up. That's called Akira, pick it up from Rishus Hayachid, from a private domain, to do Havaras Rishus, to transfer to another domain, and then to do Hanacha, to set it down in either Rishus Harabim or the Rishus Hayachid. So that's going to be the first topic, the first Malacha that we're going to discuss, the Malacha of Hotza'ah. As I mentioned briefly last night, there are 39 Malachos that are prohibited on Shabbos. We're going to get to that in the seventh parak. There are also many, many rabbinic laws that were created to preserve the observance of Shabbos, especially the laws of Muktzah. Certain items should not be moved on the Shabbos in a normal way, because that might lead to Hotza'ah, or that is a weekday activity, an Uvda D'chol, a weekday atmospheric. So just to share a couple of thoughts as we begin Masechta Shabbos. I mentioned yesterday, Smichas Chachamim, Rav Naftali Katz asks, why is it called Masechta Shabbos? Why isn't it called Maseches Shabbosos? No, Shabbosos, because we know that it's Psachim in the plural tense, Krisus in the plural tense, Brachos in the plural tense. Why suddenly Shabbos in the singular? He suggested, based on the famous Medrash, that everything that God made in this world has a pair, has a partner. And that Shabbos complained, I don't have a partner. The first day has the second day has the third day. Sorry, the third day has the fourth day, the fifth day has the sixth day. But the seventh day doesn't have a partner. Because after the seventh day, again, you have the first day. So there's no partner. The first day is already partnered up with the second day. So Shabbos complained, I don't have a partner. It's not right. And so Hashem responded, don't worry, I also don't have a partner. I'm Yachid Ba'olami, I'm unique in my world, and you Shabbos are also unique in your world. So the message of Shabbos is the message of uniqueness, of the oneness of Hashem, that really there's only one creator, there's only one thing going on in the world. There's just Hashem, and that's the message of Shabbos. And that's why Masechta Shabbos begins with the laws of Hotza'ah. Because the law of Hotza'ah is don't carry from Rishus HaYachid, from the domain of the one, into Rishus HaRabin, into the domain of the many. But that's the whole message of Shabbos. The message of Shabbos is to connect to the sense of Echad, that Shabbos is one day, Hashem is one being, that there's one Hashem. The idea of oneness of Hashem is that Hashem is in everything. In the other religions, the Zoroastrians, they believe that there were two creators, two gods, a god of day, a god of night, a god of good, a god of bad. So there's multiplicity. But if you believe in one God, that means, as we learned in the end of Masechta Brachos, you bless God for the bad also, just as we bless for the good, because it also comes from God. It's just one God. It's only oneness. That's the message of Shabbos. Shabbos is the day of the one. So Shabbos has to begin with the singular tense of Shabbos and not Shabbosos. And that's why it begins with the laws also of Hotza'ah. All right, let's begin with the Mishnah. This is a mission that we are probably will remember briefly aspects of it. It also came up when we learned Masechet Shavuos. The Mishnah says Yitzios HaShabbos. So the simple meaning of Yitzios HaShabbos, meaning the carrying out on Shabbos, the carryings of Shabbos. There is biblical carrying on Shabbos, and there is rabbinic, that these rabbis said rabbinically don't do this either. So Yitzios HaShabbos, the carrying out of Shabbos, it's not allowed. Shtayim, there are two acts of carrying that are not allowed for the person who's standing inside in the private domain. Shehein Arba, plus there's another two acts of involvement in the act of carrying by the person who's standing in the private domain that are only rabbinically prohibited, to equal a total of four acts that are prohibited, two biblically and two rabbinic. That's for Bifnim, for the person standing inside. And then there's Shtayim, there are two acts that are prohibited biblically, Shein Arba, plus another two acts that are prohibited rabbinically. So a total of four acts, for bachutz, for the person who's standing outside. Now, there's a point of the Mishnah to teach us that there is the malacha of hotza'ah. Hotza'ah is to take an item from the private domain out into the public domain. And there's a malacha of hachnasa, the prohibition of taking an item in from the private domain, from the public domain, into the private domain. So you can have a person standing in the private domain, and he has two biblical malachos, the biblical malacha of hotzah, taking things from the private to the public, and a biblical malacha of hachnasa, taking from the public into the private. So that would be the two that are biblical for the person standing inside. There are two that are biblical for the person standing outside. The person outside might be taking things out from the private to the public. That would be biblically hotzah. Or taking things in from the public to the private. Again, that would be biblical hachnasa. So there are two biblical prohibitions, and both also have rabbinic prohibitions of involvement in the malacha, which is also still a prohibition. Ketzer, what's the case? How do we get to the two biblical plus two rabbinic and two biblical plus two rabbinic? Ha'ani omed bachutz. We're talking about a poor person who comes on Shabbos and he's standing outside. Now, a poor person typically comes to collect charity. So he's coming on Shabbos, he's standing outside. And the owner of the household is standing inside. The poor person put his hand inside and there was something in his hand. Maybe he had a basket. So he picks up his hand with his basket and he stretches it into the house. And he deposits the basket into the hand of the balabayas, that the balabayas should fill it with food, and then he'll take it back out. So now the ani has performed hachnasa, because the ani did akira. He took this basket that was stationary, he set it in motion. He did havaras rishus, he transferred it from the street to the indoors, and then he did hanacha. He set it down into the hands of the balabayas. So the ani here is chayiv, and the balabayas is pater. He is not obligated to bring a carbon if this is all mistaken. He's not guilty. He didn't do anything. He was just stationary. Oh, what would be another case of a chiyuv, of a biblical obligation, and an obligation to bring a carbon if it was done by mistake? Shenat al misocha. The poor person put his hand inside and uprooted an item from the hand of the balabayas. He lifted it up from the balabayas, the hotzi, and he took it out, and then he put it down. Ani chayiv. Here the ani does hotzah. The ani again. The poor person did akira. He uprooted the item. It was stationary in the hands of the balabayas. He uprooted it from the hands of the balabayas. He did avaras rishus, a transfer, and he did anacha, he put it down. So ha'ani chayiv, in these cases the ani is chayiv, u'balabayas pater. The balabayas is totally exempt. Now, these are two cases that are biblical for the ani, for the person standing outside. Now we have two cases of biblical prohibition for the person who's inside. Pashat balabayas es yado lachutz. The balabayas put his hand outside. Again, there's a poor person there. So he put his hand outside with, let's say, food, an apple. He picks up the apple from his house. He extends his hand outside to the street. And nasan letoch yado shalani. He put it down into the hands of the poor man. So here again, the balabayas is the one who is chayiv. The balabayas did the akira, the uprooting, the avaras rishus, the transfer, and the hanacha, and the putting it down. Shenat al mitocha. The balabayas took the item from the hands of the ani, the hichnis, and he brought it inside. So let's say the balabayas said, oh, you have a basket. I need that basket to fill it. The balabayas, the person inside, the householder, put his hand outside, took the basket, lifted it up, brought it back inside and put it down. In these two cases, the balabayas is chayav. The balabayas is the one who's obligated. He did the malacha, he did the whole malacha, he did the akira, he did the avaras rishus, he did the hanacha, he did the uprooting, the transfer, and the setting down. and Ha'ani, the poor person who's outside, is Pater, is totally exempt. So here you have the two biblical cases for the Balabais, for the person inside.
Even though there was no walking involved.
Correct. The item was uprooted, the item was transferred, and the item was set down. Now we're going to talk about the rabbinic cases. Pash, where we have the two rabbinic prohibitions for the person outside and two rabbinic prohibitions for the person inside. Pash ra'ani es yado lufnim. Let's say our man outside, the poor man, put his hand inside. V'natal balabayas misocha. And the householder took from the hand of the poor person and he put it down. So now, there are three parts to the malacha of hotzah. There is akira, the uprooting of an item, lifting the item from being at rest, stationary, propelling it into motion. Then there is moving that item from one domain to the next, ha'avaras rishus. And finally, there's hanacha, there's the setting of the item down, putting it down at rest in the new domain. So now we're saying, where would you have rabbinic prohibitions? Not biblical. When no one person did all three things. One person did one aspect of the malacha, and somebody else did the other aspect of the prohibited activity. So in this case, the poor person put his hand inside, but the householder took it, the item, from the hand of the poor person and put it down. So the poor person did the akira, he uprooted it. He did the havaras rishus, the transfer, and the householder put it down. The householder did the hanacha, the putting it down in place. So here we have the rule, shnayim sha'asa'uha. If two people do the malacha, p'turim, they are exempt from a karban. The Torah says about the karban chatas, ta'asosa, in the doing of it, in doing of the full act. So, yachid sha'aso sachayiv, if one person does the full act of the prohibited malacha by mistake, forgetting that the day is Shabbos, or forgetting that this activity is prohibited on Shabbos, then there is an obligation of a sin offering. But shnayim sha'aso, if it was only done by two together, there's no sin offering, there's no biblical prohibition, there is merely a rabbinic prohibition. So that's the case here. Pasha da'ani es yad lufnim, the poor person put his hand inside, the natal balabayas mitocha, and the owner of the house took from the poor man and put it down. So the owner of the house, he did the hanacha, the ani did the akira, so it's two. So that's only a rabbinic prohibition. It's pater aval aser. It's exempt from a carbon, but it is prohibited rabbinically. Second case. He did hanacha.
The hands inside the, it's
correct.
Good. Only hanacha because the first guy ordered in there. But
right, because the definition of hanacha means that the item is now set.
The item
is set in its place. And that place has to be a sturdy place. Dalet al dalet. The poor man, he took the item, but it's in his hand. His hand is yada lo naicha. His hand's not at rest. Yes, he did ha'avaras v'shuf. He moved the item in. But it's like the item is still moving in the air when it's in his hand. It's not at rest.
And because it originated outside, it becomes a problem for the balabayas.
The balabayas is participating in the malacha. He's putting it down. The hachnasa here, the transfer of the item from the outside to the inside, is happening through two of them. The poor person does the akira and the avaras rishus, and the balabayas, the householder, is doing the hanacha, the placing down. Or another case. Shenasan letocha, the poor person put his hand inside, and the householder put something into the hand. So now the balabayas, the householder, he did the akira, he uprooted. He starts to propel the item into motion. Then he put it into the hand of the poor person. The poor person then was ma'avir rishus, transferred to another domain. And the poor person put it down. So if you have a situation where the balabayas did the akira, and the poor person does the hanacha and the havaras rishus, vahotzi, the poor person took it out. Again, shnehem turim, both of them are exempt. So that's two cases. There's a machlokas rishonim, whether both of these cases are the cases of the ani, because in both he did the havaras rishus, or maybe the first case is a case of drabanan for the ani, because the ani did the uprooting. The second case is the case of Drabanan, a rabbinic prohibition for the Balabayas because he did the uprooting. Next case, Pashat Balabayas is Yodalachot. The householder put his hand to the outside. So he did the uprooting. He did the transfer. But the poor person took from his hand, the poor person put it down. So that's two of them doing the malacha. That would be a case where it's a rabbinic prohibition. Probably a rabbinic prohibition for the Baal HaBayis, because he does the transfer and he did the uprooting. Or the Baal HaBayis put his hand out and the poor person put into the hand of the Baal HaBayis. So now the poor person did the akira, the hifnis, and the Baal HaBayis does the hachnasa, the Baal HaBayis brings it in, and the Baal HaBayis puts it down. So the Baal HaBayis did the havaras rishus, and the Baal HaBayis did the hanacha. So here again, Shnei HaPtuim, they're both exempt, and this might be considered a case of the poor person. If we're saying that the Mishnah is listing as rabbinic prohibitions the people who do the akira, the people who do the uprooting, or this might be a case of the Baal HaBayis, according to the other Rishonim, the Meiri, that the Mishnah is listing the cases of the havaras rishus, the transfer of the domain, and that's being done in this case by the Ashim. There are many, many principles that emerge from this Mishnah. This is why, according to some Rishonim, the reason why the Masechta deals with Hotzah and not with other Malachos like planting or plowing, which are really the beginning of the food making process. But the reason why it deals with Hotzah is because this Mishnah is a very exciting Mishnah. Number one, it has a lot of laws in it. A lot of new concepts. The concept of Hotzah, the concept of Achnasa, the concept that if two people did the Malacha together, it's now only a rabbinic prohibition, not a biblical prohibition. The concept that a person's hand can be considered four Amos by four Amos. The concept that a person's hand on its own is not yet considered Munach, it's not yet placed. It has to be placed down something more stationary, that you can have an Akira from taking out of a hand. All of these many laws are all in this Mishnah. So when you have a very complicated Mishnah with a lot of laws, that makes it more exciting. It's one of the reasons what the Rishonim give why the Masechta begins with Hotzah. Another reason that the Rishonim give why the Masechta begins with Hotzah is because it's a very hard malacha to do. It's very hard to not carry. It's hard. People are always carrying stuff. It's hard to live in a world where you can't carry. Every seventh day you can't carry an item out from the house to the street, from the street to the house. In fact, the Rambam says that on Yom Tov, you're allowed to carry even those items that normally you could have carried before Yom Tov. You could have done it before Yom Tov, and you just were lazy and didn't. You can carry it on Yom Tov. The Rambam says, you know why? Even though many times the rabbis said things you could do before Yom Tov, you can't do it on Yom Tov. He said, because if you wouldn't be able to carry on Yom Tov, you'd feel like you're in jail. Everybody's carrying all the time. So that's why the rabbis were leaning. They said, even if you could have carried before Yom Tov, on Yom Tov you're allowed to carry. So on Shabbos, to not carry is to feel like I'm in jail. It's not so easy. So the Mishnah begins with the laws of not carrying on Shabbos, because whatever mitzvah is harder to do, it's a more precious mitzvah. It's more special if it's harder. It takes more work. It's more of a servitude to Hashem. I'm doing the hard thing. That's what Hashem treasures the most. I saw that Yitzchak Zilberstein on this Mishnah, he said that he was once asked, a person was becoming more religious. So he decided to make changes in his life. His wife wasn't fully on board. So he realized he could do one thing. He could take on one thing. His wife would be willing to take it on. So the question is, should they take on to keep Shabbos, or should they take on to keep Taras HaMishpacha? They could only get one. Shabbos or Mikvah? What should he take on? So they went to Rav Steinman. Rav Steinman said, you take on Taras HaMishpacha. Because it's much harder to control oneself in regards to Taras HaMishpacha. So whatever is a harder thing to do, that's the bigger mitzvah to do. That's the greater achievement. So Masechta Shabbos begins with Hotzah. It's hard to do Hotzah. Everybody's carrying all the time. Shabbos I can't carry. This is the most special. That's what we start with. Yeah, question, Mitch.
You could assume that the Mishnah uses the example of an onion because possibly it wanted to teach you that that maybe halakha is stuck or not overridden by...
Very true. That's what the Bar Tanura says.
The question you have is that why would anybody have a havamim that you think that you can go ahead and do stuck on Shabbos and you'd be violating one of the Lamentat Malachas?
Right? Okay, I don't know why the people would have such a havamina, but that's what the Bar Tanura says. It's to teach you that even though someone thinks he's doing one mitzvah, it's not grounds to ignore the concept of Shabbos. I saw a story about Rav Yehuda Tzadka, Zchuto Yagon Aleinu. He was the teacher of Rav Ovadia Yosef in Yeshivat Porat Yosef. So in the 1920s, the Gera Rebbe, the Imre Emes, made a famous trip to Israel. He came in the 1920s to Israel. So he came to Yerushalayim, and everybody went out to meet the Gera Rebbe. So all the kids also came to meet the Gera Rebbe. So Rav Yehuda Tzadka at the time was 9 years old. He met the Gera Rebbe, the Imre Emes, of Avraham Mordechai Alter. And the Gera Rebbe asked him, "What are you learning?" He said, "I'm learning Shabbos, Masechta Shabbos." So he said, "Okay, tell me, why are there 24 prakim in Masechta Shabbos?" So he said, "I don't know. I'll come with an answer." So he ran to the local shul in Shchunat Bukhar. There was a great rabbi there, the author of the book of Halacha called Kaf HaChaim. He was sitting and learning in the shul. He asked him, "Why are there 24 chapters in Masechta Shabbos?" So he said, "There are two reasons why there are 24 chapters in Masechta Shabbos. Number one, in the Navi Yeshaya, the Navi tells us that a bride, a kala, has 24 pieces of jewelry. And since Shabbos is Shabbos Malkasa, so when you learn the 24 prakim of Masechta Shabbos, it's as if you have the 24 pieces of jewelry of a kala. And another reason is that when you keep Shabbos, it's as if you kept the entire Torah. Shabbos is how we testify that Hashem created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh, the foundation of faith. If you keep Shabbos, it's as if you keep the whole Torah, and there are 24 books of Tanakh. So that's why there are 24 prakim in Masechta Shabbos." So he ran back to the Imre Emes. He said, "I know why there are 24 prakim in Masechta Shabbos. There are 24 chapters, because if we keep Shabbos, it's as if we keep the whole Torah, and if we keep Shabbos as if we have the adornment of the Shechinah Kedosha and the Kala, the Pasuk says in Yeshaya has 24 pieces of jewelry." So the Imre Emes was so excited, he gave him a coin. He gave him a coin, a 5 grush coin, as a gift, as a kameah. So he brought it home. His mother was so happy that he got this coin, she made a necklace out of it, a kameah. She put a hole in the coin. He wore it around his neck. And he said that whenever he had this coin in his neck, he always gave the best answers in cheder. Then he lost the coin. But anyway, that's the story about Rav Yehuda Tzadka, about the 24 prakim in Masechta Shabbos. Amazing Masechta.
The statement of is very negative, though, that you feel like you're in jail for it. You know, it goes completely opposite of Oneg Shabbat.
Well, this is what Hashem wants us to do, to show real loyalty.
Oneg Shabbat is a positive.
It's a bigger mitzvah when you put in more effort.
Have a bigger mitzvah and have Oneg through it.
All right, this is what Hashem wants. Another thought, why does the Masechta begin with the words Yetzios HaShabbos? You're going to see, the Gemara is going to ask, why the words Yetzios HaShabbos? Tosfos asks, we could have said Hotzos. Why Yetzios HaShabbos? So the Hasidim say Yetzios HaShabbos is the first letters Yud and Hey. Because Hashem, Tzur Olamim, the Pasuk says, Hashem made the two worlds with the letters Yud and Hey. The next world was made with the letter Yud. This world was made with the letter Hey. So a person who keeps Shabbos, he is testifying to both things, to the future world, as well as to the fact that Hashem made this world in 6 days. So he's connecting both to that world as well as this world. That's when the Masechta Shabbos begins, with Yud and a Hey. Yeah,
so
question.
Yeah, Rabbi, the only guy who buys a house on Shabbos, okay, for maybe not for collecting money or anything, maybe wants to get a medicine for his wife at home, she's dying.
Doesn't matter.
So that's a life, you know, saving life.
Well, to save a life, you're allowed to violate Shabbos.
So which one is
you
more
save
important?
Lives. You save lives. V'chai b'hem, you save
so
lives.
So then if he gives the medicine to the
that's fine.
Honey,
no
okay.
Problem at all. That's okay.
Why don't you ask about the mother-in-law? The ticket for the day.
Both get. Both, yeah, both are going to get. All right, now we're going to start the Gemara. We're on the bottom here of Daf Beis Amud Aleph. Just to address what Mitch brought up, I saw in the book Margolios HaShas that there was a comedian who once came to Rabbi Yechiel Michal of Zlotchev. He said, "It's so hard for the poor person. He doesn't have money. It's hard for him to have food. So why would Masechta Shabbos begin with Ha'ani Chayev? The poor person is Chayev. Have Rachmanis on the poor person. Let the Balabayas be Chayev." So the Maggid of Zlotchev thought, and he said, the Ani's Chayiv, because he put his hand in. the Balabaya should have been putting his hand out. The right way is that the Balabaya should know that the Ani needs, and he sees the Ani, he's taking care of the Ani. But that the Ani's panicked, and he puts his hand in, puts pressure, that's already Ha'ani Chayv. That's why it says Ha'ani Chayv. Okay, starting the Gemara. Starting the Gemara, Daf Beis Amud Aleph. Tanan Asam, we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Shavuos. Shavuos, Shtayim, Shein Arba. In terms of the law, that if you violate an oath, you have to bring a carbon, olivi orid, you have to bring a sacrifice, depending on how wealthy you are. A wealthy person brings a sheep, a poor person brings a cheaper sacrifice. So that's, there are two biblical shvuos, namely that a person swears, I will eat or I won't eat. And then there are another two that were added, not rabbinically, this is biblical, but they were added from a medrash. A person swore that I did eat, or he swore that he didn't eat. Shein Arba, that's another two to get to four. Now starting the Beis Mibiz. Yediyo Satuma. Another time where you have to bring a carbon olive yored, as we learned in the Masechta Shavuos, is if somebody, while impure, forgot that he was impure and entered into the temple. Or while impure, forgot that he was impure and he ate from a carbon. And then he remembered that he was impure when he walked into the temple. He remembered that he was impure when he ate from the carbon. So those are two. And then they added from Medrash Chachamim, not only that he forgot, not only the case when he forgets that he's impure, but even when he knows that he's impure, but he forgets that the temple is the temple, or he knows he's impure and he forgets that the sacrifice is a sacrifice. So Yediyah Satoma, this law that when you know about impurity, you bring, when you found out that you had forgotten about impurity and you defiled the sacred while impure, you bring a sacrifice, a sliding scale sacrifice. Shtayim, there are two that are explicit, Shein Arba, plus another two that were interpreted to get to a total of four. Now, Maros Negayim, the different colors of white for Tzara'as that make a person Tame. So, Shnayim, there are two that are explicit, Se'es and Baheres. Shein Arba, then there's something called Sapachas, to include another two, which are added. So, as our sages teach us in Maseches Negayim, Baheres means the white of snow, and the sapachas, the tolda, the derivative of the white of snow, is white like the white of a wool. And then you have se'es. Se'es is the white of wool, and the tolada is the white of an egg. So those, all those different shades of white make a person tamei with saras. So maris negayim shnayim shein arba. Then the Mishnah ends with yitzios haShabbos. In regards to carrying on Shabbos, Shtayim, there are two. Shein Arba, plus another two, gets to a total of four. So probably what the Mishnah means is there's two which are Hotza'ah, two which are taking an item out from the inside to outside. The Balabayas does Hotza'ah, and the Ani does Hotza'ah. And then Shein Arba, there's another two which are Achnasa. Balabayas bringing it in, and the Ani bringing it in. So now, Maishnach, why over here, the Tani did it list? Two that are biblical for the person inside, plus two that are rabbinic for the person inside. And then it says two that are biblical for the person outside, and two that are rabbinic for the person outside. Why are they in Masechta Shavuos? It doesn't talk about the rabbinic cases. It just says that there are two cases of Hotza, and then two cases of Achnasa. And furthermore, another question. It's too low, and no more. That's why only there does it say Shtayim Shein Arba, but doesn't say Shtayim Shein Arba Bifnim, Shtayim Shein Arba Bachutz.
Can you also ask over here that why it doesn't say Yediyos Tama, not Halamos Shtayim Shein Arba?
Oh, why doesn't here it mention those other cases? Good. Yeah, similar question. Very nice. Answers the Gemara. Hacha. The answer of the Gemara will explain both. Hacha over here, Iker Shabbosu. Here the topic is Shabbos. This is where we learn about Shabbos. This is Masechta Shabbos. So here we'll talk about all the different cases of Shabbos. There, the main topic is oaths, vows, obligations. So we mentioned Shabbos too to help us remember, but here the focus is not Shabbos. So here, hacha, ikar Shabbosu, tani avos, v'tani toldos. It talks about the primary activities and the derivative activities. As I mentioned yesterday, there are 39 avos malachos, primary categories of work, and each of those avos malachos have many tolados. Tolados are the same basic thing, just in a different form. So for example, the av would be zorea, to plant a seed. The tolada would be zomer, to prune a tree, because when you prune a tree, you're going to make the tree grow better. It's the same point of making things grow better. One is the what was done in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, they weren't zomer. But the Tzol does also a malacha. It's just not the same level as an av. If you violate the Tzol on Shabbos by mistake, you also have to bring a carbon chatas. If you did it on purpose, a person would get kares. If you did it on purpose and he was warned, he would get skeelit, get stoned. So here, where it's the main point of Shabbos, Tani Avos, it mentions the Avos, the Tani Tolados, and it also mentions the Tolados. But also, but over there, the Lavikar Shabbosu, there it's Masechet Shavuos. The main topic is not Shabbos. Avos Tani, it mentions the Avos, in other words, it mentions Hotzah. Tolados Lo Tani, it doesn't mention the Hachnasos, it doesn't mention the Tolados. Ask the Gemara, 1 second. Avos, my new. What are the Avos? Yitzios, Hotzaos, carrying out from the private to the public. Yitzios Treyav, there are only two things, there are only two Hotzaos. There's the Balabayas who's Motzi, and there's the Ani who's Motzi. Only two Hotzaos. So what do you mean? You can't, there's two that are four. Bechitim, you're going to tell me, Mehen L'chiyuv, or Mehen L'ptur. It's mentioning a total of four Hotzaos, two that are biblical, and two that are rabbinic. But in that mission, everything is like each other. It mentions Yitzios HaShabbos. It mentions types of Tzaras. It mentions Yitzios HaTzuma. So it has to be like the Hotzos. Have to be like Maras Nagayim. Maras Nagayim Chiyuva. In regards to Tzaras, any color that it might be is going to be a full obligation. It's going to make him fully Tameh. Avachanami Kulul Chiyuva. So here too, it's all biblical. Elam Rav Papas. Rav Papas are like this. Hachadikah Shabbosu. Here, which is the primary subject of Shabbos. Tani Chiyuvi Upturi. It mentions the biblical obligations that are rabbinic, and it mentions the rabbinic obligations. You get to two, which are four for one, and two, which are four for the next person. Hasamad in regards to Shavuos. The Lavikar Shabbos, it's not the main topic of Shabbos. Chiyuvi Tani, just talked about the biblical violations. Turi Lo Tani. So again, the Gemara asks, Chiyuvi Maininu. What are biblical obligations? Yitzios Hotzos. Yitzios Tarti Avion. But there are only two Hotzos. There's the Hotzah, where the poor person takes it out from the private to the public, and where the rich man takes out from the private to the public. So the Gemara says, no, there are four. Shtayim d'hotza, there are the two hotzaos. Shtayim d'achnas, there are the two achnasos. There's where the rich man takes it from inside to outside, that's a hotza. And then there's the rich man taking it from the outside inside, that's achnasa. There's the poor man taking it from the outside inside, achnasa. And the poor man taking it from the inside outside, a hotza. So it's a total of four chiyuvim. So 1 second. Vayitzios katani. But the Mishnah there and the Mishnah here talks about yitzios haShabbos. It doesn't talk about hachnasos. It talks about yitzios, the taking out. Amar Ravashi. Ravashi answered, Tan hachnasa nam yotza karile. The Tan and Shavuos and here would call a hachnasa a hotza. Hotza means to take out. It doesn't have to mean to take out from the private to the public. You can take out from the public into the private. Hotza means to take out. Mimai, what's the proof? Midik tani, because the fact that it says, Amotzi mir shus l'shus chayev. In the 7th chapter, when we list the 39 avos malachos, we get to the very last one, is the malacha of Hotza. It says there, Amotzi mir shus l'shus chayev. If somebody takes out from one domain to the next, he's obligated. Now, when we talk about being taken out, Milo Askin, aren't we also dealing with the Kamayam mir shus harab, mir shus yakit? That he's lifting it up from the public domain into the private. It's called Hotza. Why? The time am I? What's the reason why it's called Hotza? Any item, you're uprooting it from its spot. Tana, the Tana, Hotza, Karila. The Tana calls it Hotza. I'm Ravina. Ravina said, Masis Nami Deka. This is also clearly the language of our mission. The Ketani Yitzios. Right? The mission began with Yitzios HaShabbos. Shtayim Shein Aru Bifnim. And then it says, Ketzad, what's the case? Ha'ani omi b'chutz b'alabayis b'fnim. Pasha da'ani yisyadu l'fnim. V'nasin l'tzachyadu sh'alabayis. What's the case? The poor man stands outside. He puts his hand inside. He puts it down. That's the case of achnasa. Right? That's the very first case. It's the case of achnasa. So, again, I'm Ravina. Ravina said, Mastisa nami deka. The Mishnah clearly refers to yitzios as also including achnasa. The Ketani yitzios, because our Mishnah began with yitzios, become a farish. And what does it first explain? The first case is the case of achnasa. It first explained achnasa. Become a farish achnasa l'alter. It explained achnasa right away. Shema Amina, so you see that when it says Yitzios, it also refers to Achnasa. Rav Amar Rav gave a different answer. When our Mishnah says Yitzios, even though it then first says Ketzad, what's the case? And that's a case of Achnasa, not a case of Hotzah. Yitzios means Rishuyos Katani. Yitzios means domains. Yitzios HaShabbos, there are two domains of Shabbos. Shtayim, there are two domains. There's the private domain and the biblical and the public domain. Rishuyos Shabbos Shtayim, there are two domains of Shabbos, the private and the public. Shehein Arba, between these two domains, the Mishnah and Shavuos is saying there are four obligations. There are the obligations of Otzah, two Otzahs, there are two Achnasas. But the point is that there are two domains, and out of the two domains, you have four activities. But not to say that the word Yitzios necessarily means Achnasa. Achnasa maybe is not included in the word Otzah, but Yitzios means domains. Yitzios HaShabbos, there are two domains. Shtayim, there are two. Shein Arba, there are four, you know, laws about these domains for the person bifnim. Shein Arba b'chutz, there are four laws about these domains for the person standing outside. Yeah, question.
What is the relationship between the laws of Shabbat and ani and rich person? I don't understand. Why do you give ani and rich people, for example? Why can't you say a person? I don't understand that.
Well, I think the point is that the more colorful an example, hopefully the more a person will remember it. So this is a very colorful example. You know, the whole story, somebody comes, he's asking for help, puts his hand in, puts something down, lifts something up. So to make it more vibrant and more vivid, that's the story that's used. Just to share a... So, okay, we'll start at the two dots tomorrow. We're going to see that there's a whole discussion. Is it really, you know, eight movements that we're speaking about in our Mishnah? Maybe you could even say it's 16 movements. And we'll get into the big topic tomorrow of lifting up the Sitei Michshol. And whenever it says Pater, Masechta Shabbos, what does it mean? Okay, we'll stop here.